Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Welcome to Voices Carry Live. My name is Randy Scott. You are watching the live broadcast from the beautiful village of Cary, Illinois. We broadcast live on X, Rumble, YouTube, Twitch. I've never used Twitch, but we broadcast on there to bring our community together. I recognize that we might not always just get folks from Cary on there. So what this is, this is your megaphone and your microphone if you live in the village of Cary, Illinois. You can email us. You can comment. We're going to have some guests on starting next month. And then also some other fun stuff happening next month. And then also, if you're not from the village of Cary, this is my independent venture to try to bridge the gap between social media and just talking with your neighbor. My hopes is that I provide some sort of context or some way to be like, hey, did you see that bald guy on the YouTubes? He said this, or optimism is my biggest thing, to where you're an optimist, but then you also have your feet on the ground to where you're a realist. I kind of got that in the fire service. I worked with a lot of great leaders there, and got to see from everything from working at the hospitals to the fire department to a whole grab bag of other stuff to where good things are on the horizon. So welcome. And we have our live village board meeting watch party. Why do we do this? Why do we do live village board meeting watch parties? I'm not the only one. There's a lot of other ones that do it. for their own communities, but this mainly for like larger cities, and it's kind of a spectacle. You know, you get a lot of stuff going on, but this is meant to be informative. I like to provide value where I can. If I know something, I'll explain it. If I don't know something, I'll look it up and have it for you the next day. And then also, it's to watch our village officials. This is a unique dynamic to where we have seven people making decisions that can impact all of us. And that's no small undertaking. We should be thankful for them to navigate these. And not everybody is as... We got to be respectful to our leaders because they have a tough job threading the needle. And just like in our last show, we touched on the 2020 response, and that was new for everybody. So it's like we just need to look at what happened, and you know, like the village code in our prior meeting. This is from Baraboo. The city of Baraboo, Wisconsin, where they have the water parks. Kalahari just went on a trip there and with the family. And they have an awesome mission statement. And this is from the city of Baraboo, 100 and some pages, done in-house. And then this is the village of Carries, 800 and some pages, and costs a lot of money to put together. This is never going to get smaller unless somebody does something about it. There's no reason why anybody there's no reason for this to get smaller unless we do something. And it needs to responsibly get smaller as well. They're doing that at a federal level right now too, to where they're kind of like, hey, you add one, take away 10. Because otherwise, our kids are just going to be landlocked. So, welcome to the Village Board Meeting Watch Party. It's going to begin here. Let's hop in, see what... Sometimes it pulls in smoothly, sometimes it doesn't. Let's see. We got 2 minutes. There's a Super Bowl ad here. Oh, no, I said Super Bowl, so they're going to... Gonna get a whole bunch of ads for that. Let me. So we're coming up on the final few minutes before the meeting, and I have here the agenda. So we'll have a Cary Grove High School traffic safety presentation. Thank you, Cary Grove, for that. And then Congressman Darren LaHood, tour of the regional police training facility. We have a firearms training facility next to the water treatment plant and homes right there. And they were touring that, so that'll be fun to go through that. Consider for the approval of warrant, which is a fancy name of this stuff. It's pretty much just an itemized list of what makes the gears turn for a village. And then meeting minutes. Minutes are... a way of keeping track of what's said, what's done, and those are approved in the next meeting. And then there's some other line items here for, looks like, mainly public works and street improvements. Excuse me. And it looks like they're beginning. I am trying a new way to get audio in, so... Bear with me with this. Let me see if they do have a presentation that is available on the PowerPoint or a video or whatnot, I will try to make that right side bigger. It is 6 o'clock right now.
Good evening. I'd like to call the Village Board meeting for the Village of Cary for February 4th, 2025 to order with roll call, please.
Collier?
Here.
Dudek?
Here.
McAlpine?
Here.
Stefani?
Here.
Walrath?
Here.
Weinhammer?
Here.
Koenig?
Here. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Now moving to the open forum where the public is invited to make an issue-oriented comment of any matter of public concern not otherwise on the agenda. Drum roll, please. Martha Ritter.
Mayor and Board, as I stand in front of my elected officials, I'm reminded that you were elected to listen to what the residents want. But as everyone has seen, this has not been done. It's nice to know you got what you wanted with your elected powers. Even when the residents have spoken, we got shot down. We are not even asked or informed until after the deal was done. Now I know what behind closed doors really mean. So Mayor and Board, after 15 years of my son and I trying to save baseball, trying to save open space, you won. You got your Des Plaines, Palatine, and Arlington Heights all rolled up in one. You bullied District 26 in the Frankie subdivision that apparently doesn't exist. Congratulations. You won in building an all-inclusive resort in a neighborhood where it does not belong.
Thank you. Tom Harding?
Sorry, I shouldn't have signed up.
Well, you signed in. Now you got to come and talk.
Do I got to come to the mic?
You don't have to. I'm just kidding. No, if you want to talk, you got to come up. But if you don't want to talk, yeah, we just need you to state your...
This is my first meeting.
Okay.
I was at my HOA meeting this week for the Cambria subdivision, mm-hmm. and they brought up the possibility of there being a road between 31 and New Haven. Is that on the agenda, or is that something coming? Is that already?
It will be. Nothing's official yet. It's not on the agenda, so we're not authorized to talk about it tonight. But you just pay attention.
Is it get on the agenda for the next meeting?
Now, when the development comes to the board, you'll have your opportunity to discuss. There's going to be plenty of public outreach to discuss what, you know, the pros and cons.
Is there any documentation on it on the website that we can look at ahead of time?
Yeah. Brian is our community development director. We do have, if you look on our website, there are development things that are happening on there. I don't know if there's, is that on there?
That's not currently on the website because it's a preliminary plan. The property is under contract right now, and the developer is looking to develop it, and part of the component is a potential extension of New Haven Drive. It is in our comprehensive plan, but I certainly can provide more information or talk to you offline from that standpoint.
So the development is more than a road. It's commercial enterprise along that corridor.
Correct. There's a concept that was reviewed by the board back in December. That's on our website. And I can certainly, if you give me a call tomorrow, I can certainly give you more information.
All right.
If you'd like, we can make it come in, go over. He can show you what was presented already to the board. And if you go back to one of our meetings, everything is, that's why we have people come up. Everything is videotaped and audio recorded. So you can go back and watch the prior meeting. It was, I think, first meeting in December? Yeah.
Does the preliminary plan include any additional access being added to the Cambria area? To the rest of the village? Like, we have one road, basically, for everybody to go through, if you don't count going through Collins and that other street. This doesn't involve any more additional access being added from this part of town into the rest.
Correct. The only concept that plan has right now is an extension of New Haven Drive from where it terminates at the cul-de-sac at the end through to Route 31.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to address the village board? Okay, we'll go ahead and close open forum at 6:04. A couple things on my agenda. First, we have the Cary Grove High School traffic safety presentation. Who wants to take this? Don't be shy. We're all neighbors.
I'm Aaron Pfeiffer, Cary Grove High School. I've been teaching the community for 30 years. Do for our community. I see it every day, And I think what you see before you is a bright future that will continue the progress that we've made as a community. And I want to thank Brian Peterson, a distinguished Cary Grove alum, who devoted his time and energy to give some training, some information, and the opportunity to conduct some research, reach out to the community, collect data, and they've made some recommendations after some very spirited and passionate debate about traffic safety. So it's class, I think. And just the arrow back. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to speak at the microphone there, please.
And before we begin, again, I want to thank you very much for the Cary Grove High School AP Human Geography class and also with the support of the AP Statistics class. I was fortunate enough to view this presentation earlier along with Ryan Peterson, who was coordinating our McHenry County Safety Action Plan. And I will say, very impressed with the detail, the depth of the review that you're about to see and that they're going to share with us this evening. And I hope the public and our board takes this into consideration as we, as always this time of year, are starting our capital improvement plan and budgeting process. So this is a very timely presentation with some very good insight, and I'm going to now turn it over to the students of Cary Grove High School.
Thanks. So each of you guys gets credit when you come up and speak. State your name for the record, okay?
Hi, I'm Madison Duncan, and this is CGHS's AP Human Geography class's traffic safety infrastructure and policy recommendations.
I'm Nora Urbatis, and the recommendation objective is to design a roadway network within 1 mile of Cary Grove High School's radius to eliminate fatalities for the next 25 years.
Our rationale for this objective is that school zones are particularly vulnerable due to high amounts of pedestrian traffic, as well as unexperienced road users.
Some statistics are children are involved with 20% of pedestrian crashes within 1 mile of schools, and nearly 1 in 5 school zones lack proper crosswalks. And reducing vehicle speeds in school zones can lower crash risk by up to 50%.
And some crash patterns seen are that most crashes occur during morning drop-off and afternoon pickup hours as a result of distracted driving and high speeds.
And school zones are particularly vulnerable to areas due to those reasons that you just said. But the data that we collected shows that the most vulnerable times of crashes are pickup, drop-off, and when students leave for lunch. And there's a high amount of traffic during lunch hours, and it's vulnerable risk for crashes.
Hello, my name is Gavin King. For the statistics, this was at the first entrance on Three Oaks into the faculty parking lot of Cary Grove. There was roughly 600 cars in the morning, far fewer trucks and pedestrians and 15 buses at that time period. During lunch, there was a lot more cars seen, with nearly 2,000. Also, a lot more trucks with 82 and low amounts of the pedestrians, buses, and others. During afternoon pickup and departure time, sadly, the statistics class were unable to collect data for this location, but they were for the other two locations during the afternoon time. For the main entrance, during the pickup time, there's a bit more cars than at the faculty entrance with nearly 600. In addition to that, there are more trucks, more bicycles, more pedestrians, and more buses, though still cars and buses are the main vehicles. For lunch hours, you see nearly 2,000 cars, many more trucks, almost 100, and almost no bicycles or pedestrians, and about 10 buses. For the afternoon pickup, you see fewer cars, only 400, while you see a bit more trucks at around 23, and you see a higher quantity of buses and pedestrians leaving. For the First Street and Free Oaks Road entrance, at morning drop-off time, there was around 800 cars, around 20 trucks, and very few of the others. During lunchtime, around 1,000 cars were recorded at this entrance, around 100 trucks, and very low of the others. And then at afternoon time, the stats are very similar to the main entrance afternoon times.
Hello, my name is Ryan Sullen. So we wanted to place buffered bike lanes at Three Oaks Road and First Street because they are collector streets that arterial roads lead to, and they provide residential access.
Hi, my name is Shreyas Hasaranamam. We also chose buffered bike lanes instead of regular ones because buffered bike lanes provide an additional buffer between cyclists and vehicles instead of just being like a line for regular bike lanes. And they improve the psychological effect for bikers and improve safety.
Student feedback suggests that there is a strong support for adding bike lanes on Three Oaks Road, and more than 60% of students who were surveyed supported adding it.
Although students were not surveyed about First Street, it's likely that they would have also wanted bike lanes on that because of this response for Three Oaks Road.
Here's some of our data. Student feedback suggests that there is very little interest in actually reducing speeds, but we believe that there could be a similar safety effect by placing buffered bike lanes, as we found that people tend to drive slower and more responsibly when there are more bikers and pedestrians present.
There's also the fact that bike lanes will also encourage more people to use more sustainable ways of getting to school, like biking.
My name is Bradley Kyle, and we also decided that we kind of want to have raised crosswalks placed at the intersections between Three Oaks and Eldon Drive, and also the intersection of Three Oaks and First Street, mainly because raised crosswalks force vehicles to slow down when approaching them, which makes pedestrians more visible and consequently increases safety for pedestrians. By doing this, it also increases the amount of walkers to school. And when there are more walkers as a result, there will probably be more responsible driving because, like Ryan said, people tend to drive more responsibly when there's more pedestrians out. So specifically Three Oaks and Eldon, the main reason we wanted to have one there in particular is because when the AP Statistics people surveyed students, that was cited as one of the most commonly seen as unsafe intersections with about 1 out of 4 students saying that they felt at least somewhat unsafe on that intersection. So by increasing traffic safety, by using a raised crosswalk, we can presumably also get more satisfactory results from students and help them feel safer. And these are the statistics I was talking about. The reason we want one between Three Oaks and First Street in particular is because student interest in placing a roundabout to increase safety there was very low. So by placing a raised crosswalk at that intersection, we can likely achieve a similar effect by still causing drivers to drive more responsibly by increasing more pedestrians.
I'm Evan Fear, and we wanted to implement a no turn on red policy at Three Oaks and First Street because the intersection has a lot of pedestrians crossing and many vehicles turning right on red, and sometimes even conflicts between the two. A no turn on red policy would reduce the risk of pedestrians and the vehicles by limiting how many dangerous right turns can be done.
My name is Brady Post, and as we suggested earlier, student feedback suggests that there is very little support for a roundabout at this intersection because people would think that it would get jammed because there are inexperienced drivers. Implementing a no-turn-on-red policy in addition to a raised crosswalk at the Three Oaks Road and First Street intersection is a good alternative to a roundabout because it reduces accidents by encouraging drivers to reduce their speed and pay more acute attention.
Hello, my name is Rachel Coldwell, and one of our things that we thought would be a good idea was the rectangular rapid flashing beacons, because it will alert drivers mentally, because the brain will like realize the neon colors and it will be able to make sure that they slow down for when pedestrians are crossing. And also likely encourage more walking.
Hello, my name is Catriel Dizon, and student feedback suggested that there's a strong student support, as most voted for favorability, seeing as 3 and 4 are more favorable and 1 and 2 are less favorable. And 77.3% of the students supported this improvement on some level.
Hello, my name is Cara DeFrance. So this is just the data that we gathered, and we would want to put this between the Holy Cross Lutheran Church and the CG main entrance.
Our next example of a good way to stop traffic is automated speed enforcement within the school zone on Three Oaks Road. From personal experience, from my brother, he has 3 tickets because of these, and unfortunately it did cost a lot for him and my parents, but he has slowed down more because all the tickets he had to pay for, because my parents were like, I'm not paying for that. So you can see that it does work, and I really do encourage this because I've seen it work.
Although the majority of students did not support lowering speed limits, many more students suggested the improvement of maintaining the current speed limit in the junior and the high school, such as cameras by the school. And as to go along with Rachel's brother, one of my sister, she is also pretty known for speeding and is very scared of. Like police, she only slows down around them. So I think more enforcement would definitely encourage more students to drive safely.
There is a student in one of the surveys who made a suggestion, and it was to add a speed limit sign with a speed camera attached to it, and it would link up to a leaderboard casting the top fastest cars listed with their license plate and IDs in bright, flashy colors for teenage drivers to see along with the police, which would probably be extremely embarrassing and would teach students the lesson about speeding and breaking the laws.
So our conclusion was that we were tasked with creating a 1 mile radius around the school that would have no traffic fatalities. We were tasked with this by the Epstein contracting firm and Mr. Ryan. So we recommended a combination of buffered bike lanes, raised crosswalks, rectangular rapid flashing beacons, and no red turn on red policies, and automatic speed enforcement policies. And yeah, that's it.
That was great.
Well done. Can I ask you a couple of questions? I'm going to open it up to the board if they have any. Anybody have some questions?
Getting kids involved with local government is amazing, and it helps on so many different fronts other than just public speaking.
Traffic study kind of company that came here and talked about maybe helping with some funding or something. Would that be a good company to put this group in? Connection. You
know
the one I'm talking about?
Vaguely. I know, because I find this stuff fascinating, and I know we're geeky municipal volunteers, essentially. But this is, there's a lot of really cool crossover things on what we're actually working on. And as our administrator, Morimoto, mentioned that we're in the middle of our budget process as we decide some of the discretionary, the minimal discretionary funds we have to spend on issues like this. This would be a really kind of an interesting concept. Just to let you know, we will be doing First Street next year. That'll be completely redone from Route 14 up to Three Oaks, and it will include a buffered bike lane. That's already been approved by the board last year, so that's in our five-year plan. I love the idea of additional speed. I'm on that side of town all the time too, and it's crazy over there. I avoid it like the plague when you guys are coming in and out of school. And I see where you're coming from when you're talking about kids, inexperienced drivers, and you know people taking chances. And actually, one of the things I think is really important, and I see people disobeying this all the time. We have the no right on red when a pedestrian is present. There's a lot of gray area in that. Is it present here? Are they present in school? Is it present across the street? Can I turn like that? I think that's a great idea to think about. Just no turn on red over there by the high school. I think there's kids coming and going all the time. Those are great points. You know, a couple things that we deal with. You know, I don't want to, you know, be the dreaded Dougie Downer here, but some of these things we can't do. Like the raised crosswalks on Three Oaks, that's a main arterial road that we get through, because we got to think about the fire chief that's sitting back there. How is he going to get his equipment to and from where we need to go? So we have to rely a little bit more on signage. One of the things that we've learned a lot and we're going to be implementing, I think before the meeting I mentioned, perception isn't reality when it comes to speeding. But what helps us with that is narrowing lanes. When you narrow lanes, it slows the traffic. So on some of the areas that we have in town on Decker, we've had a couple residents come in with concerns about speeding on Decker. And what we're going to be doing this next year, we are going to be narrowing some lanes with striping to see if we can halt that. And then by adding more, Chief, how much are the speeding indicators, the radar signs that we have? Those are like $2,500 a piece.
I think they're a little bit more than that.
A little more?
Yeah, and it depends on the type you get with a solar panel versus batteries and things like that. But they certainly do work well in regards to identifying people and their speed if they're not paying attention.
Yeah, and a great idea. I think that's great. I think that's that would be money well spent. That's been recommended to the board, and it's something that we're going to look at our next CIP meeting, which starts. If you're looking for something fun to do and talk about this, next Tuesday we'll be right back here talking about our five-year program, about how we have our discretionary funds that we can do to implement some of these safety things. I think these are great ideas. One of the things that I think that really helps with pedestrian is those illuminated crosswalks that you could press the button and it allows people. I could see creating a case. I am not a traffic expert. I'd have to go through the chief and our traffic engineers and that stuff to get it done. But any time that you can get traffic to slow down for pedestrians, that's a win. Because the first things that we do, any decisions that we make, are based on public safety. So this is fascinating. Can I ask another question? How long did it take you to gather data to put this into a presentation form? Did you find it challenging with your classmates, or were they ready to offer the information? Come on up to the microphone.
It wasn't too hard because it was the AP statistics that prepared the surveys, and they were the ones outside collecting the data.
Okay.
So in terms of them collecting the data outside, that was easy, you know, just spending a couple of your free periods. And then with the survey, I'm not in AP statistics, but I'm in the dual credit statistics course. And I remember we were asked if we could fill out that survey by that class, so I wouldn't be surprised if I was asked by several math teachers to help get that data.
Okay. Is there anything within the recommendations that you made? What are your top three recommendations? Come on up to the microphone, please.
I would say as a class, we most likely agreed on the flashing beacons, the buffered bike lanes, and I'd say probably the no turn on red policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are great. I mean, it's fascinating. I'm really proud of you guys. Again, Cary Grove, man, you hit it out of the park, so thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions from the board?
I would just say, well done. You guys did a really good job. Did a great job presenting it to us, made it very simple. And we appreciate all of the input and time that you took to bring this to us. So thank you. Well done.
And just as a little bit of a plug, the Village of Cary is going to be entering into the micro internship, the shadowing internships. If you're thinking about doing something like this, we've got people actually Director Morimoto, Director, Administrator Morimoto's background is he's a traffic engineer. So he finds this stuff very fascinating, and he can geek out on this like more than anybody else knows. But it makes sense. You need people that can do this, that can make good sense out of these things. And I think it's great that you're getting all this information from the people that will benefit the most from it. So thank you very much.
I just want to say hi to Rachel, Bradley, Maddie, and Kara. I had you guys as students, and I didn't see you right when I first came in. So it's good to see you guys.
Great job with the Cary Grove putting that together. They had a lot of good points. Like he mentioned that they're going to bring in lane narrowing. I know that wasn't part of the presentation, but you see that a lot with when you go into a construction area on the interstate. They put those barrels in little by little. They get closer, and you just naturally slow down. And then also just getting involved with doing this is awesome. Like I saw a Cub Scout group do this for recycling for a recent development that went in probably about 3-4 years ago. But it just builds so many tools you can put in your toolbox when you're young to make you stand a little taller in these issues.
Yes, it's huge all the way around.
I had, as they're wrapping up, I had Mr. Pfeiffer when I went to Cary Grove High School. And his class was not only my favorite because it was the only air-conditioned class that I had, because he was right there by the media center, but he's just an awesome teacher. He really got me involved he kept it interesting. It wasn't just, here are the notes, study for the test. It was like the why behind it, which is always a good thing to have instead of just boilerplate, got to go through it. He kept it fun. So thank you, Cary Grove, for doing that.
Okay.
And putting that together.
Thank you. The last thing on my agenda is I had the honor actually represents Peoria and then swings all the way up to like Harvard area. And he is fascinated by what we're doing in McHenry County with our policing. He had asked to get a tour of the regional training facility as well as the indoor firearms training facility too. So he's trying to figure out so he can broaden it to getting down to his neck of the woods on how we can partner more with policing. I think Chief Finland did not attend that one, but we would not be sitting here with this asset in our community if it wasn't for Chief Finland. So he was a big instigator in getting these things done. And it was fascinating to hear his perception on how we're getting these things done. You know, his question is, how do you guys all get this done? All you municipalities work together. We work together so well with the other municipalities, as well as our county board chair. We're fortunate to have leaders in our county that look at the benefit of working together, collaborating on projects to get to the biggest benefit for what we're doing. You know, I can honestly say that I feel McHenry County is very safe. And I was at another event earlier last week, and this resident came in. She was from Barrington. She came up to me. She said, "You're the mayor of Cary." And I said, sometimes I always say, maybe. It depends. But she came up and she said she moved here from Barrington and she's never felt more safe in a community than she feels in the village of Cary. So I think that's a testament to our goals as to bringing these types of situations that we all benefit from. So we're very thankful, and I was really delighted to meet him. He's a great man, and he's going to come back, and he's going to show other people about it, and he's actually invited our sheriff and the county chairman to come down and kind of go over it with in Peoria. So these are good things, and this is what we work on through MCOG and the caucus and Illinois Municipal League too. So it was great to be a part of that. So I wanted to make sure everybody knew that we are making our way with our regional policing. On to the regular agenda, I will entertain a motion to approve consent agenda items A through G as shown on the village's website and is displayed on the video monitor during the village board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Stefani?
Yes.
Dudek?
Yes.
Weinhammer?
Yes.
Collier?
Yes.
Walworth?
Yes.
McAlpine?
Yes.
Motion passes. And then, thank you, Mayor. And then these are just some images of two of the projects that were on the consent agenda this evening. So as you saw in the packet, the first project that was selected for the bids through the state lighting process was our community plaza. So this is a rendering of the project that is slated to begin construction this summer. This and the second project, First Street Improvements, which as the mayor mentioned and as highlighted by the students at Cary Grove High School, does include resurfacing with buffered bike lanes. So we're excited that, I think great minds think alike, that our planners are in tune with what the students are looking at as well. Both these projects are recipients of some state and federal grants. So as you might be aware, there is some review of the federal funding that is underway right now. At this point, we're not getting indications that these two funding sources are in jeopardy. However, should that change, we will monitor that situation. Obviously, both projects are slated for summer construction time period, so there's time to pause the project if necessary. But at this point, I'm not hearing indications that there's an issue yet, but we will monitor.
Okay, thank you. Administrator's report, we'll roll right into you.
Thank you, Mayor. And as noted earlier, we have our next and first budget meeting is next Tuesday, February 11th, 6 p.m. here at the Municipal Center to review our five-year capital improvement program. So we invite the village residents and community to check out the exciting projects and improvements that are being proposed in our five-year plan. As you may have seen through some of the outreach and textcaster alerts, right now on Route 14 over by East Main Street, there is a contractor that is doing some utility work for the pipeline company beneath Route 14. So there are some temporary lane closures that began this week and they're anticipated to continue through March 1st. Thank you.
Thank you. Department of Reports, Chief Finland.
Just an informational item is that we were having some difficulties with the payment system for the Metro parking lot that we're addressing and was brought to our attention by some of the individuals that were parking out there. So that's being addressed due to the upgrade of the payment stations.
Okay, thank you. Director Simmons.
Brief update, just following up from the conversation at the last village board meeting regarding information or public outreach related to the Maplewood property and potential redevelopment. One item that was discussed was creating or allowing individuals to sign up via textcaster for updates. This slide just gives information as far as how individuals can do that via our village website. By going to the website under the How Do I tab, there is a sign up for textcaster icon there. And there will be a form that individuals can fill out and then to receive updates regarding the Maplewood property and potential redevelopment of the site. There is a development and business updates under the community development section there, which individuals can sign up for that, and we will utilize that to advertise future meetings that will have the property being discussed at the board level.
Just a real quick question. Mm-hmm. If someone's already on TextCaster, they can go in and add that also to whatever they're getting. They can change their menu, so to speak, and they want to add that to it.
Correct. Yep.
Sign.
Is another thing we'll be looking at too is other ways that we can provide advertisement on the property, potentially utilizing the existing sign on the property for the school building. If meetings do take place, we can potentially utilize that sign, the existing monument sign on the property, to advertise dates and times of meetings as well.
Thank you. Any future agenda items in discussion by the village board? None said. I will entertain a motion to adjourn into executive session to discuss personnel, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees. 5 Illinois CS 120/2C1.
So moved.
Second. And we will be adjourning from executive session. So this concludes the public portion of the meeting. Pardon me? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned at 6:34.
That was the village board meeting. We thank our village officials and the Cary Grove High School for putting on that presentation for safety for roadway safety. You got to see how the village works, which is, oh, did they have a, let's see if they, no. And there is no committee of the whole meeting this evening. That was canceled. But I was just, going through these, and that's the reason why I like to go through this and watch it with you guys, is because it's always a little bit more interesting when you get to watch it with somebody, a little bit more context. If you always want the official recording, go to the official Village of Cary's YouTube page. And then also, I just go through it because having kids, it's nice to feel like you're involved with the community. And also, if you are watching right now and you have any questions, I am monitoring live chat or comments. And then also, I have a few things here I wanted to. This is part of the reason I like going through this. It says here HR Green, which is an outside consulting engineering firm. It says Hilltop Subdivision Sidewalk for $12,000. So the Hilltop Subdivision, I believe, is where that bus accident occurred, to where there's no sidewalks in that subdivision. So it's nice to see action taking on that. So if it's on this HR Green, it might be just feasibility. It might just be, is it possible? I'll look into that and find out more for you there. And then also we had a gentleman, I'll go back and play it. There was a woman that expressed concerns about Maplewood. And then there was also a gentleman that expressed concerns, your voices, Cary. In the public speaking portion, voice concerns about the roadway that they're going to put through from New Haven Drive, soon to be New Haven Road, to Route 31, which could be a K1 speedway to get to 31 eventually. So that'll be coming down the pike, no pun intended. And then another thing here is, saw this. This is what they call the warrant. This is what is just line items of what they spent money on, your money. This is for 121 through 25. So not even a full month. And then in less than 30 days, they spent $16,000 on lawyers out of the Chicago law firm. So, and that's a recurring thing. I see them spending a lot of money on that. And yeah. So we can, I enjoy going through it to look after my family, look after your family, look after the future of Cary, where we live. Because kids like to come home. Kids like to know where home is. They like to, have their fun, like city time. And then it's like, okay, it's time to come home. So when my kids decide to do that, I want to have a nice place for them. And I want it to feel like home, not where they're moving away from in the city. So that's why I'm here, and to have a little fun while we do it. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy being with you. I wanted to, it is called Voices Cary, so I did want to pull up this feed again to let, because when I started the presentation, the audio was not directed to the right source, so I wanted to let them speak again.
Deck here.
McAlpine?
Here.
invited to make an issue-oriented comment of any matter of public concern not otherwise on the agenda? Drum roll, please.
So if you're a resident of Cary, you can...
Martha Ritter.
In this portion here.
Mayor and Board, as I stand in front of my elected officials, I'm reminded that you were elected to listen to what the residents want. But as everyone has seen, this has not been done. It's nice to know you got what you wanted with your elected powers. Even when the residents have spoken, we got shot down. We are not even asked or informed until after the deal was done. Now I know what behind closed doors really mean. So Mayor and Board, after 15 years of my son and I trying to save baseball, trying to save open space, you won. You got your Des Plaines, Palatine, and Arlington Heights all rolled up in one. You bullied District 26 in the Frankie subdivision that apparently doesn't exist. Congratulations. You won in building an all-inclusive resort in a neighborhood where it does not belong.
Thank you. Tom Harding? Well, you signed in. Now you got to come and talk.
do I got to come to the mic?
If you don't have to, I'm just kidding. No, if you want to talk, you got to come up. But if you don't want it to, we just need you to state your.
This is my first meeting.
This was
okay.
I was at my HOA meeting this week for the Cambria subdivision. Mm-hmm. And they brought up the possibility of there being a road between 31 and New Haven. Is that on the agenda, or is that something coming? Is that already?
It will be. Nothing's official yet. It's not on the agenda, so we're not authorized to talk about it tonight. But you just pay attention.
To get on the agenda for the next meeting?
No. When the development comes to the board, you'll have your opportunity to discuss. There's going to be plenty of public outreach to discuss what the pros and cons.
Is there any documentation on it on the website that we can look at ahead of time?
Yeah. Brian is our community development director. We do have, if you look on our website, there are development things that are happening on there. I don't know if there's, is that on there?
That's not currently on the website because it's a preliminary plan. The property's under contract right now and the developer is looking to develop it. And part of the component is the potential extension of New Haven Drive. It is in our comprehensive plan, but I certainly can provide more information or talk to you offline from that standpoint.
So the development is more than a road. It's commercial enterprise along that corridor.
Correct. There's a concept that was reviewed by the board back in December. That's on our website. I can certainly, if you give me a call tomorrow, I can certainly give you more information.
All right.
If you'd like, we can make it come in, go over. He can show you what was presented already to the board. And if you go back to one of our meetings, everything is, that's why we have people come up. Everything is videotaped and audio recorded. So you can go back and watch the prior meeting. It was first meeting in December. Yeah.
Does the preliminary plan include any additional access being added to the Cambria area to the rest of the village? Like, we have one road basically for everybody to go through if you don't count going through Collins and that other street. This doesn't involve any more additional access being added from this part of town into the rest.
Correct. The only concept that plan has right now is an extension of New Haven Drive from where it terminates at the cul-de-sac at the end through to Route 31.
Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to give those folks an opportunity to speak because it was cut off a little bit at the beginning. That was our village watch party. We like to watch village officials just to, we thank them for their service and then also just to be involved with our community. This is Voices Cary Live. This is your megaphone. This is your microphone. I look forward to, and this is, I say it again and you're probably tired of hearing of it, but we're always constantly inviting new people in, so I kind of like to do a station ID every once in a while, especially with these village board meetings. A lot of folks come into the program. The reason why I'm here doing this out of my own pocket is because social media, I grew up without it, got introduced to it, and I'm thankful to know a life without it. Our kids won't have the tools to know that life without social media. They'll just be given what we give them in this world. That's a lot of the reasons pretty much for everything that I do is to lessen the impact of when they're going to have to head this on by themselves, and we need to lay the groundwork. So it's kind of making a transition, not a transition, you still have social media, but it's like have a way to talk about it with your neighbor, feel like you're not alone. If you ever, and it's your program. So if you want a certain topic to be looked at or to be talked about or have a question, you can email us at voicescarry@proton.me. That's voicescarry@proton.me. And you can always leave a message. We broadcast live. This transmission goes live to X, Rumble, YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. So we thank all of you for, I thank all of you for watching and giving the constructive criticism and the feedback. And I really look forward to it all starts with talking. That's really all it is. We don't have to agree on everything, we just have to talk. Every night I sing my son Rafi, which was a he still does it, but he was a children's artist, and he's like, I shouldn't sing. I'm gonna lose the 10 viewers that are watching right now. But it goes like this. The more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. 'Cause your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. Every night. And I think that's what we need. We just need to talk. And I if you watched the whole thing, you saw the comment. I look forward to making Carry a place to where if I'm asked, are you the mayor of Carry? I'll be like, hell yes. How can I help you? Have a great day.
You're confirmed at T minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, one!
Reach for the sky!
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole!
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right, your toys.